Well, I invite us to open our Bibles this evening to the book of Zechariah. Have you read his book, Zechariah? You may meet him in heaven one day. And what if he asks you, what did you think of my book that I wrote to you? How will you be able to respond to that? So, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1, I invite us together tonight to stand for the reading of God's Word. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1, in the 8th month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying, Lord, as we see these details tonight, help us to gain some background and introduction to this book of Zechariah. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Zechariah is a book that tells you that you should be looking at the future. It's prophetic. You should be looking at the future. And then in view of looking at things in the future, you will look at things in the present and what the Lord is doing in the present. So we could say it's a book that challenges God's people to stay focused on future promises in order to get things done in the present. Why study the book of Zechariah? That's a question a few people have asked me here recently since we're beginning to do it. Why study the book of Zechariah? Well, of course, the first reason is that it's one of the 66 books that God gave to man in the Bible. It's one of the 39 Old Testament books. And it is a book that is quoted 71 times in the New Testament. 71 quotations of Zechariah in the New Testament. So it is the Word of God, and that is a good enough reason for us to study it. There are ancient manuscripts, Hebrew manuscripts, that are manuscripts of Zechariah, which we have, and they are very clear manuscripts. The oldest copy of a Hebrew text of Zechariah is from the 2nd century B.C. It was found in the Qumran caves, so you'll recognize that's part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Zechariah is in there, and it is from the 1st century before Christ. This was translated into Syrian, and it's been preserved in manuscript form. And these manuscripts, compared to others, are in what some have called a pristine state. So we have very, very good manuscript evidence for the book of Zechariah. The Jewish Old Testament is often referred to as the Tanakh. Anybody heard that? The Tanakh. T-A-N-A-K-H. Tanakh is actually an acronym. And the T-A stands for Torah, the law. The N-A stands for Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And the K-H stands for Ketuvim, which is the writings. The law, the prophets, and the writings, which is exactly the way Jesus described the Old Testament in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. So, the book of Zechariah is part of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Old Testament. And it is in the second section, the Nevi'im, the prophets. Now, around 190 BC, there was a Jewish compilation of Old Testament books that included 12 books of the Old Testament, known as the 12 prophets, or the 12. In that collection, we have the 12 Old Testament prophetic books from Hosea to Malachi that were linked together, and those are the 12 prophets, and these are the ones today that are often classified as the minor prophets. Oh, I could wish we didn't have a classification like major prophets and minor prophets, because they are not minor in terms of importance at all. They are equally major with the larger books, but they're called minor because they're shorter. The longer books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those are the major prophets. Why? Because they're longer. They take up more pages in your Bible. But the minor prophets take up less pages, and Zechariah is one of those minor prophets. Although Zechariah is the longest of the minor prophets. 14 chapters, 211 verses. The second longest minor prophet is Hosea with 14 chapters and 197 verses. One of the reasons that the canonicity of Zechariah has never been questioned, nobody's ever questioned, well, does Zechariah really belong in the Bible? It's never been questioned, and one of the reasons it's never been questioned is because it's quoted so often in the New Testament. 71 times So that's a very high amount of quotations, and many of those quotations pertain to Jesus, the Messiah, as we will see. And so Zechariah has been called by some the most messianic of all writings in the Old Testament. So we'll come back to that in a little bit, but it belongs in the Word of God, and that's one of the reasons we should study this book. A second reason we should study the book of Zechariah is that Zechariah is a book that is really designed to give hope in the heart of God's discouraged people. It talks about people that were discouraged, people that had come back from captivity to the temple when they were expecting it to be in its glory. They came back and found it in shame and disgrace. So it's an encouragement for those. The point of Zechariah, along with the book of Haggai, is to encourage people to get to work in the rebuilding of the temple, which they just had not, because they were discouraged and their focus became on other things. So it's a book to give them hope, to get them back to work in the ministry of the Lord. Well, we too are living in a rather bizarre world these days, aren't we? And as a result, we recognize there is evil intent on the part of some, and we hear reports day by day, week by week, of people who are struggling with depression and discouragement because they're kind of confined at this particular point in time. And some of us tonight can think back to a time when there was reverence for God in the church. There was genuine worship of God. There was real focus in the church on knowing God's word. I dare say tonight that is not the case in most churches. In most churches, the focus is not reverence for God. It's what? Meet my needs. Give me what I want. I'm so needy, meet my needs. Zechariah is a book that gives us reverence for God, and it takes us to the importance of knowing God's word. We think of our churches, and there are conversations these days about needing security in churches. Now we need protection from the virus in our churches. You know, some of us can remember, but 50 years ago, that was not the case in church. It wasn't. But it is today, And so this is a book that can help us because we need hope in our day as well. A third reason for studying the book of Zechariah is because Zechariah is a book of your Bible that is rarely, if ever, studied. Maybe some of you have never studied it. Maybe for some of you it's been a long, 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 long time since you have studied it. It is, in a sense, an obscure book, and some people consider it extremely difficult to understand. I hope in our journey through it we'll take some of that difficulty out for you and help you in your understanding of Zechariah. But those are not reasons to avoid it and never study it. And it is a book that many Bible commentaries never include. There are not as many commentaries on Zechariah as there are others. And it is a book that quite a few preachers never preach through. And so we're going to try to fix that problem in our study that we begin this evening. So, our question for tonight, who is Zechariah? Who was he? By the way, his name means Yahweh remembers. Some of you might recall from when we studied through Psalms, we saw the word Zakar quite often. It means to remember. Zakar, Yah. Zechariah. Yahweh remembers. Now, Zechariah, here in verse 1, is identified in three ways. And the first way he is identified is he was a prophet. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet. He was a prophet. That word means that he received direct revelatory messages from God. He was a prophet of God. Received direct revelatory messages from God. Zechariah was also called a prophet by Ezra and was closely linked to Haggai, the prophet. And we'll just take a moment to look at Ezra. Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. When the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So you see, Ezra considers both Haggai and Zechariah prophets. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. The elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they finished building according to the command of the God of Israel and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So Zechariah bringing direct messages from God to the Jewish people. Zechariah is also a prophet because he gives clear messianic prophecies throughout this book. And I've listed those for you in your notes. We won't look them all up tonight, but here they are for you. Zechariah promised that Christ is the branch. Chapter 3, verse 8. He promised that Christ is God's servant. Chapter 3, verse 8. Zechariah prophesied that Christ is the shepherd. Chapter 9, verse 16 and chapter 11, verse 11. Zechariah prophesied that Christ is the smitten shepherd, chapter 13, verse 7. He prophesied that Christ would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey colt, chapter 9, verse 9. He prophesied that Christ would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. He prophesied that Christ would have his hands and feet pierced, chapter 12, verse 10. He prophesied that Christ will return to the Mount of Olives, chapter 14, verses 3 through 8. He prophesied that Christ will be both king and priest, chapter 6, verse 13. He prophesied that Christ would be a fountain that removes all iniquity, chapter 3, verse 4, and chapter 13, verse 1. He prophesied that Christ will restore Israel and destroy Israel's enemies, chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. And he prophesied that Christ will reign worldwide in the future, chapter 9, verse 10, and chapter 14, verse 9. And that's a good list of messianic prophecies in the book of Zechariah. And there are actually a few more that are in Zechariah, and we'll see them as we work through it. So he is a prophet giving clear messianic prophecies. The second way that Zechariah is identified here in Zechariah 1:1 is that he was the son of Berechiah. The son of Berechiah. Berechiah's name, some of you know the Hebrew word Baruch, as in Baruch Atah Adonai, which is Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Berechiah means Yahweh blesses. Baruchiah. Yahweh blesses Berechiah. And we don't know a lot about Berechiah, but here you clearly see Berechiah was Zechariah's father. He was Zechariah's father. Now, we learn, we'll see it in chapter 2, verse 4, when we get there, that when Zechariah began prophesying, he was still a very young man. And that gives us the implication, because we don't know the details, but the implication is this, that Zechariah's father, Berechiah, who's not on the scene at all after this, must have died when Zechariah was very, very young. Just keep that in mind. So he was the son of Berechiah. And the third way he's identified in verse 1, he was the grandson of Iddo. When you read in verse 1, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, that means Berechiah was the son of Iddo. Zechariah was the son of Berechiah. Therefore, Iddo was Zechariah's grandfather. Okay? So we can see that there. The name Iddo means appointed time. And so, if you put these three names together, Zechariah, Yahweh remembers, Berechiah, Yahweh blesses, and Iddo, appointed time, verse 1 has a message in it. Yahweh remembers and blesses his people at his appointed time. That's a good message, isn't it, that you get from their names. Now, Iddo, and we've looked at Ezra 5:1 and Ezra 6:14 already, and Iddo was mentioned in those verses that we read. We can also find him in Nehemiah chapter 12. And so let's do take the time to look at Nehemiah chapter 12. And if you could find Ezra, you should be able to find Nehemiah. They're right next to each other. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 1. Now these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, the son of Jeshua, Sariah, Jeremiah, Ezra, and he goes on naming them. Then in verse 4, you see Iddo was one of those who came with Zerubbabel back to Jerusalem to help rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. Iddo was one of those priests. Numbers chapter 12, verse 16, of Iddo, Zechariah, Ginnathon, Meshulam. So Zechariah is mentioned in relationship to Iddo. Now, just another thought about Zechariah before we move on to the historical background here that we've already begun thinking about. Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, we learn from Jesus that Zechariah was murdered. Jesus said he was murdered between the porch and the altar. So he was murdered by mob action at the temple that was rebuilt. Jesus said he was murdered. So that is how Zechariah's life ends. So bear those things in mind. He's a prophet. He's the son of Berechiah. He's the grandson of Iddo. Now, our final question for tonight. What is the historical background of Zechariah? Zechariah was born in Babylon when Israel was in Babylonian captivity. He was born into a priest's family. Berechiah, the son of Iddo, his grandfather. Life was not great, of course, in captivity in Babylon, but it also, by the time of Zechariah, wasn't real bad either. Jewish people had made homes in Babylon, and they were living there, so it could have been worse. For the most part, by this time, the Babylonians were fairly good to the Israelites. In 539 BC, the Babylonians fell to Cyrus, the Persian king. God stirred the heart of Cyrus to permit any Jew who wanted to go back to Jerusalem. You can find that in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. Cyrus signed a decree that permitted Israel to return to her land and rebuild her temple. 2 Chronicles 36 again, and Ezekiel chapter 1 again. So that's some of the background. A decree has been given by Cyrus that Jewish people may return to Jerusalem. Now, we also have decrees, additional decrees by Artaxerxes, the Persian king, later, and that decree has to do with Daniel chapter 9, and we won't go into that tonight, but under Cyrus, a decree was made. About 50,000 Jews did return to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel. Now we'll meet Zerubbabel in the book of Zechariah, but Zerubbabel, the governor that was assigned, led these people back. Zechariah's grandfather, Iddo, the priest, was one of those 50,000 Jews that returned. And we read that in Nehemiah chapter 12. Zerubbabel, the governor, was the leader, and Joshua, or Jeshua, actually it's Yeshua, the high priest that we'll also meet in Zechariah, was a leader. Iddo took his grandson, Zechariah, with him, and ultimately they were involved in the completion of the foundation of the temple, which would have been done in 536 BC. So Zechariah made this trip with his grandfather. If you remember the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, as well as the book of Haggai, you do realize there were problems that came up in the rebuilding, and there were delays in that rebuilding process. And Zechariah and Haggai are the prophets that God raised up to challenge God's people to get out of this delay mode and get back to work in the rebuilding of the temple, because God wanted the work completed. So he raised up these prophets. So the temple work began around 520 BC, and was finally completed. The foundation was completed in 536. The whole temple was finally completed in 516 BC. So Zechariah made that long trip with his grandfather on foot, walking to Jerusalem, and served in that role. Now, Zechariah's ministry, and we're still looking at verse 1 here, his ministry began about 2 months after Haggai began his ministry. You see in verse 1, Zechariah began his ministry when? In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius. Haggai, in Haggai 1:1, began his ministry in the 6th month of the 2nd year of Darius. So Haggai had about a 2-month jump on Zechariah in terms of the prophetic ministry. And that we see as the beginning and the introduction to Zechariah and what is happening there. Zechariah really points to the reality that one day what we have done for the Lord will really be worth it. It really will. Zechariah points that out. Jesus will return and we will experience the blessings of God. So we're going to see that even though God's people stray or get lazy or distracted, it's possible for them to return to the Lord's grace and blessings. We will learn that our justification, our righteousness, does not come by works, but by God's imputed grace. Chapter 3, verse 4. We'll get there. We will learn that Jesus Christ will return and be King of the earth, and he will remember what we did for him and what we gave in his name. And those nations that have done hurtful things against Israel and the people of God will eventually be judged by God, and they will pay. So those are some of the themes and big ideas of the book of Zechariah. We've just kind of introduced it from verse 1, and I trust you'll join us next time as we begin to jump into it further. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this book. And Lord, I pray that we have motivated the interest of some to desire to know more and to study this book of Zechariah. Lord, guide us as we do. And may this, even though it's shorter than some of the other prophets, may this book in no way be minor. And so, Lord, teach it to us and give us great hope in these days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.